morning. Today is Monday, January the 8th. Joining us this morning is the Humboldt County Superintendent. Hey, it's been, what, 8 months now?
Yeah, around 8 months.
Okay, well, I'm just curious when we get to that point where I can call you Super Duper. That's after that first year.
Yeah, we got a little way.
Yeah, okay. Superintendent of Schools, Chris Hartley. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, and Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, so you're back to work today, huh?
Oh, we've been back to work. We took a few days off, but yeah, we've been working steady on.
I would imagine that that's one of the fallacies about education is the perception that school days equal work days, and for some it does. You know, if you're in the classroom, there's probably a real strong correlation between that. I mean, if your students aren't there, you know, it's, you know, you can clean up the room so much, you can prepare so long, but after a while, okay, things are a little bit different. But on the administrative end, what does your guys' schedule look like versus the academic school year calendar?
Well, most of the administrators are either on a 200 to 225 day school year or working calendar. And so you're working through most of the breaks. You're catching a few days here and there for sure. But for all folks in education, you know, whether it's a school system that has 180 days and that's what the teachers are contracted for, everybody's working a heck of a lot more than the days that are listed on the calendar. So, for instance, a lot of the teaching staff are, you know, during their time off are doing professional development. Heck, they're just creating lessons and grading and trying to keep up with the workload that they normally face. We just had an example of that over the weekend. Folks, a lot of teachers, over 100 teachers in Humboldt County came to a STEAM professional development conference that we
have. I'm hearing that word more and more.
Well,
it's really hacking me off, man.
Well, this one you'll like, because this one is right up your line.
Just acronyms.
Yeah.
You know, the same acronyms popping up over and over instead of saying, okay, guys, we're talking about physics or science.
So we had a science, technology, engineering, art, and math conference, Brian. How's that? Is that
Oh, that's a mouthful. I like that.
So that's why I take acronyms.
There you go.
So anyway, a lot of 100 educators came in over their break. A lot of the folks were actually on vacation on Friday, and they came in to spend a day with us, and they also came in on their Saturday. And so folks in education are doing stuff like that all the time. It was actually a really great conference. We had a speaker from NASA. She came in to talk about engineering in schools and
funding of NASA.
They funded it, absolutely.
No, I meant funding for NASA.
No, she came in.
She
to talk
can't
about
talk about that. No,
she's
okay.
Not talking about that. She's their educational liaison, but she came in to talk about creative things we can do with students in engineering and science, and it was fantastic.
Who? Somebody's uncle. Ah, man, it was. I think it was somebody who was on the show in the last 2 or 3 months. Was a NASA aeronautical engineer.
Oh,
I mean,
fantastic.
It was the real deal.
Right, right.
And it was interesting. Flashing back, I still, yeah, I don't do a lot of YouTube other than Johnny Carson and Dean Martin.
The classics.
Yeah, other than watching the Apollo rocket ships blast off and going back to, you know, the 60s and the 70s.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm kind of an astronaut freak. One of the things that I recall is everybody wanted to be an astronaut. Everybody thought it'd be cool to be in NASA and work and then it. And then when the program got discontinued,
a lot of disheartened people.
And physics wasn't cool anymore. Yeah, science wasn't cool anymore. We weren't going to the moon. We weren't going to go to Mars. We were just kind of, and it lost its funding, I think, you know,
right,
with Reagan and then subsequent to that. And it's like, okay, the ripples of something like that are so long. When you guys are looking at things like this and trying to build enthusiasm back in, do you need a big project like that to kind of rally the troops around and capture the imagination of the kids and go, we can do this? And wouldn't this, you know, watching Star Trek isn't quite the same.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you need something at the national level to that degree to capture the interest of students. Because the teachers in working with creative programming and innovative curriculum, and really what we're doing here is project-based learning activities in the classroom, that can capture the students' interest. What we're finding is if students can get more involved, you know, in their learning and see the result of a project at the end of a long lesson or a period of learning different activities and putting that together to create something, that creativity and innovation is that's really helping kids to see the relevance. And I think the one thing to capture students' interest is the dynamic condition of the today's workplace. and that they're realizing they got to have these skills to be able to problem solve and think and be creative in order to meet those demands too. So that's what the teachers are working really hard to do, is bring more hands-on learning experiences into the classroom versus the traditional lecture type of activities.
So dealing with an issue and then doing the development of the solution on that is one. Is it like what history ought to be or current events ought to be? You just look at what's going on out there and go, okay, guys, let's deal with this. Let's talk about that. Sure. Let's investigate and just go.
It certainly can be. It can be really community-based. So a lot of times you can take a look at issues that your community is facing or needs that your community has and bring that right into the classroom. And so for what we experience with our students, that's a great source of motivation and interest. So if you're doing some work on environmental education and you have a project connected to the wetlands, it's an issue right here that the kids can see on a daily basis. It's tangible. They can drive by a site where they might have been doing some science, you know, in the field work and go, hey, Mom and Dad, that's what we were doing out there.
Did you know that was a blank? Yeah.
Exactly. That we find is a tremendous resource, is right here in our own community. And in Humboldt County, we talked about how beneficial we are to have such a supportive community. Our businesses and different agencies and public agencies are always willing to come to the classroom and share what's going on in the real world with our students.
Does the structure allow for that flexibility more these days, Chris, than what it used to?
Absolutely. I think it's basically limited upon anybody's creativity and willingness to reach outside and do this kind of work.
So you're not making them have to do reports and petition for the ability to do some of this stuff?
Not at all. Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, this is the kind of the planning, if you will, for the upcoming year. What are you hearing out of the state? We hear so many things that don't seem to be related to reality from Sacramento. I know that you guys every once in a while get hit with a charge that is by surprise. Stunned and amazed might be another phrase that has been used over the years. Are you hearing any grumblings out of Sacramento at all about what may or may not occur next year?
You know, that's a great question. We have, as we are preparing for next year, you know, schools are dealing with enrollment issues. We're looking at school calendars. And the big one that affects all those is the state budget and what's the allocation for schools look like for the next fiscal year. So we are waiting for the governor's proposal. It'll come out here in a couple of weeks. We always send staff down to Sacramento to participate in the release of that information. So I don't really know specifically, Brian, at this point what it's going to look like. We're waiting for his proposal. But the indications are that we're not seeing any decreases. And so we're kind of expecting kind of a flat budget proposal. So that would be equivalent to kind of where we're at this year, which is a good thing. You know, we haven't seen declines, but overall, you know, I don't think there's going to be any major panic for schools as far as budget decreases.
But is enrollment up?
Enrollment in the county is pretty much flat, you know, which again, you know, is we'd like to see it going up. That is an indication of a strong economy, families moving to the area.
Or staying in the area.
Yeah. You know, but we're not seeing a big decrease, you know, in our overall county population. But
I think it's called flattened out.
Yeah, that's kind of it's been the trend for the last 3 to 4 years. You know, exactly. But what we are looking for, you know, from the state that we haven't seen a response to, and we just got done talking a little bit about creative curriculum, and one of those things is career education programs. At this point, we're disappointed that we don't see the state having a vision for how to support career and technical education. Kind of the temporary grant program is called, I won't give you another acronym, but they had a temporary grant program. How's that for you, Brian?
Thank you very much, sir.
You know, I won't do that to you this morning. But they had a program that it phases out at the end of this year. And so that will severely impact, especially local high schools, if there's not a restoration to that funding.
I would imagine there's enough groundswell support for that.
Boy, we are working hard on
it. The electeds would at least step up to the plate.
You know, we've always had good, productive conversations with our elected officials around the importance of a career education. But what we need to see is some sort of next step or legislation, or I'm hoping to see in the governor's budget some allocation that will keep these programs going.
Would you want it to be earmarked 5% of the state budget applied to blank?
You know, I don't necessarily, I'm not a big fan of what we would call categorical programs, because we've gone away from that and we have more autonomy and control over our budgets. But I am a fan of sustainable programming. And what we've seen with the career ed piece, what they did 3 years ago, was they basically put it into a grant type of program. The issue is it's phasing out. So what we need is a sustainable resource for career ed. And if they want to do that as a categorical, hey, bring it. We'll take it. The bottom line is we need it to last longer than a couple years, so when we create programs, we can sustain them without schools having to cut something else.
I would think that there are some areas, you know, maybe this is at the local school board level. X percent goes to maintenance, period, end of story. X percent goes to this, period, end of story. If you don't have to at the state level, at least you do it locally and lock in what you can lock in and have the flexible in other areas that are broader.
Absolutely. And the school districts are doing that. So, for instance, on maintenance, you're required to set aside so much for what we call deferred maintenance. So it's your normal maintenance routines, and you're required to set aside a certain amount of your budget for that. But the issue, if you start categorizing you got $100 today and $100 next week, and the thing is you want to add something new, well, something still has to go. You can set it aside, but that means you're going to let something else go. And so when they supplement your income with a grant for CTE and that grant's gone and you want to keep CTE, well, what is it that you've already been doing you want to let go? We don't want to let any of it go because it's all important. You know, so you look at the academics, from the arts to the CTE classes to agriculture. Who wants to be in the position to decrease a program that's working for certain groups of kids? You know, and at the end of the day, what we need from the state is a commitment on how we're going to prepare our workforce, because that's really what we're talking about with these specific types of dollars.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of the reporting cycle for last year. How many jobs and businesses stayed in California, how many left, and of those that are left, what kind are they?
Absolutely.
There was a program maybe a week and a half ago now that was talking about people pulling out of Silicon Valley because the mindset had become so structured and the cost of living had become so wildly crazy.
Yes.
Easier to go somewhere else. Somewhere else was outside of the state.
And the regulations as well.
Yeah. So I would think that there would be a heightened sensitivity to job development, job creation, and job maintenance within the state of California, instead of sitting back and saying, yeah, look how much growth we've got coming in and how many businesses are leaving.
I agree. You know, and so I know the state of California cares about student learning. I know they care about preparing students for the workforce. But the issue that they've kind of taken is that it's up to the local level folks to figure out how to do all of that. And we're lucky here now we have support. But at the end of the day, we need the funding. You know,
county government isn't being treated any different than county schools.
Yeah. I think we're in the same boat.
You have the same responsibility. Here's 85 cents. Go do it on the dollar.
At times. So it's a major area for advocacy for us, for sure.
Do you see a positive?
Well, yeah, I see the positive that when you talk to folks, they realize that the conversation we're having is relevant. What we need to see is a sustainable solution.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:37. We're back. No, 6. Gosh. Okay. 8:36. There it is, right on the clock. With Chris Hartley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, and by Lolita Cheese Factory. Chris, with the legalization of recreational use of marijuana, I know drugs, drugs of all sorts and sources have been an issue for education for a long time. Whether it's the kids, whether it's the culture they grow up in, whether it's the immediate surroundings around the schools, what they see in their communities. I mean, it's all over the place. Now with the recreational legalization, are you anticipating doing anything differently this week than you did back in December, the last week of school? Is it just kind of accepted and it's there and you just kind of have to deal with this stuff?
I don't see it's, you know, it's not like you woke up to a new day. So as far as schools go, it's business as usual, you know, as far as what we expect from students at the school, just like it is with any other substance or, you know, alcohol or anything like that. You know, when you come to school sober and you come to school ready to learn. And then that's our task to help students with the supports to do that. So it's not like it's changed overnight and, you know, it's going to be a whole different school culture climate the next day. Absolutely not. But what we do see here locally, the issues, you know, with related to cannabis and other substances, is it's not a new issue for us. And what we are continuing to do is try to provide the mental health supports and the drug and alcohol counseling and the parent education courses and all the different intervention things we can do to help students be their best when they're at school and, you know, outside of school. So it'll be an ongoing community issue. It's very important to us, and it's one of those areas we're working hard with other public agencies to try to bolster what we're able to offer students as far as just support, you know, and so that they can focus on their academics and focus on their life after school.
Now, there was a big push more 15, 20 years ago on drug-free zones. It's a drug-free zone. Yeah, you draw your bubble around the right. School, and you go, okay, we're not going to allow it. And
1,000 feet. And
okay. Now we got grow houses inside those bubbles because you can't, you know, we've got smoking areas inside of some of the schools. Okay. Now we don't have a beer cooler. Well, maybe we do, but we're just, that would be in areas that the public can't get access to or the kids. Teachers' lounges, sorry.
Those days are long gone.
Okay,
You're living way, way back.
Oh, the good old days.
There's no smoking areas in schools either anymore.
Oh, there's no,
no
none of that?
No, that's a long time ago.
As things have changed through and these new issues have arisen, how do you deal with that stuff? Whether it is alcohol or whether it is, you know, any of the other things, how do you work with that and be able to achieve whatever the goals are that you set out?
Yeah, you know, your point on the drug-free zone, those laws have gotten just nothing but stricter over time as far as the distance away from a school that you can have, you know, drugs or alcohol or be smoking or whatever. The days of having, smoking areas on campuses, those are long, long gone. And so we've actually got much more restrictive as far as what we allow around our campuses, on our campuses, or near our campuses. And a lot of it depends on, Brian, really the geography of where your campus is at. So is your campus located in a more urban area, or is it out in the country a little
bit? Yeah,
if
you're at Neyland School, you don't have to worry too much about
not so much. Not so much
space there.
You know, and then most of the issues that I've dealt with, you know, as a high school administrator, really weren't with our students. They were with community people.
That's
walking through, you know, and you're just, so what that means for schools that are in those kind of geographic areas is you have a heightened sense of adult supervision. Yeah, you got more folks, you're asking your teachers, your administrators certainly are out on the streets, you know, kind of helping keep people away from your school that you don't want around.
And or welcoming those that are supposed to be there.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and with schools in those situations, too, they have a great partnership with our local law enforcement agencies, you know, who have always been willing to, hey, you know, can you come by? There's a strange looking, you know, person kind of creeping around. We need some help. They're always really quick to respond. Or can you just do your rounds at certain times, you know, the start of the day, at lunch? And so we reach out and we partner in those sorts of ways to help our schools have a safe learning environment for kids.
Well, shoots down the rest of those questions I was going to ask.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot there.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, we're right around Eureka High.
Yeah, right.
But there's like three blocks of houses that are inside the zone.
Yes.
Well, okay, so now you got private property rights versus this large thing, you know, and I suppose now with drugs being defined as opiates and opioids and you know, at what point does what set of rights or laws or jurisdictional issues supersede the others?
Yeah, well,
okay,
it's a good point because you're dealing with an issue of people's privacy rights and their homeowner rights and where public agencies.
Well, I got a can of beer in my fridge and I live across the street from the school.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to tell you to throw your can of beer out.
Probably not, but by technical definition, it's within that zone. So is it private property rights? Or is it, you know, I mean, just those types of things you guys get to play with. I just bring out the question, that's all.
Exciting stuff.
Hey, oh, yeah, it's right up there on this one. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, what are some of the challenges that are out there now that are either structural? Yeah, we talked a little bit about budget, but more inside the system, so to speak, or inside the county. What are you running into? What's the topic
du jour?
The stuff
that we're working on? We are, you know, it's hard to believe we're going into the second part of the year. You know, so for this coming back into January, today, in fact, all Humboldt County schools are back in session today. We had most of them were out last week where there were a few districts that were actually, you know, actually back in school week because they had different calendars. So some of the school districts started their winter break 1 week earlier than the rest. And so one of the things we're working on are getting our school calendars set for next year. So we're having those conversations. And the other one related to calendars is enrollment. And so that's a big area as schools will start to focus for next year is getting enrollment set and having families sign up for their classes and picking the schools that they're going to go to. So that's been one of the things we've been working really hard on all year, and that it has to do with a local interest is inter-district transfer agreements. So if you're a family that lives in one district but you'd like your child to attend a district outside of where you live, traditionally we've had an agreement in the county where you can fill out an inter-district transfer request. And we had the last 5 years, 7 years, there was an agreement. And then we got into some conversations last year about how the terms of that agreement wouldn't work for some districts. And so we had an extension to that agreement this year. And so we've spent pretty much the first half of this year meeting with superintendents to work on the terms for a new agreement. And I'm happy to say we have one. And so that's
really
moving forward. Yep, that's moving forward right now.
How many hours did you have to lock them in the room without bathroom access to get that one?
No, we allowed people to go to the bathroom, but it took a lot of sessions, you know.
Oh, I can imagine.
It took a lot of conversation, but it's timely because the times are a bit different than they were 7 years ago when the last agreement was put into place. And, you know, the other thing is the players are different. So when you look at the administrators sitting around the table, it's a new conversation for the majority of our administration. And so a lot of it's just having an opportunity to, you know, understand what that process looks like, giving folks an opportunity to share what inter-district transfers mean for their district. And so then you're learning from others. So, you know, that takes some time. And I'm really proud of all the superintendents that came together because it's is tension. You know, it can be filled with tension. It can be filled with emotion. But everybody hung in there and listened to the needs of each other and really tried to work out something that we hope is going to be, best for all down the road.
So if somebody's in that scenario, what change are they going to experience?
Well, what you're going to have under this current agreement that they came up with is an enrollment window period. And so the prior inter-district agreement, you pretty much could fill out an inter-district at any time of the year. So school could be starting in a couple weeks, and you sat around wondering what school you wanted to go to, and then you come file the paperwork. The current situation is we have enrollment windows. So from December 1st up and through February, folks will have an opportunity to fill out their inter-districts. And what that does is it gives schools the information they need to do the budget planning, staffing planning, course preparation, what kids are going to be signing up for. And so when you have a solid idea of who's coming into your district by February, that's really helpful for districts in their future planning. And that became a real issue for us as the fiscal crisis in California hit.
And there's still some flex if somebody's moving.
Absolutely.
There's that,
absolutely,
that understanding.
And for this first-year rollout, it's real important for me to mention that if people miss the February 1st date, there's a lot of flex after that. They can still get their inter-district transfer forms in. We're going to phase this thing in this first year and really use the first year as an informational campaign that we want to use these enrollment windows and that we'll be using those in the coming years. But so if you're interested in inter-district, talk to your district of residence, pick up the form, and start the process as soon as possible.
Thanks for coming by, man.
Thank
you. See you everybody tomorrow.